Welcome to Speak It On. This program is designed for the edification and entertainment of the listeners and not designed to be representative of a church, nonprofit organization, or denomination. Opinions expressed are solely those of the host. Hey, hey, welcome back. As always, thank you for listening. And in this season of giving, let me mention real quick that Speak It On does have a Patreon page, and L.A. Blackburn, yours truly, does have books on Amazon. So, any portion that you could or see to that you would like to contribute in whatever way you would like to contribute, would be very appreciated. But we care about you all. So, I'm not one that focuses a lot on motivational preachers. Because, to be honest with you, and this is going to sound a little silly, I think there's some secular people that do a better job. And you might think, well, that sounds kind of nuts. You know, motivational preachers. Well, here's the problem. A lot of times with motivational preachers is they stay with candy. If you look at what they're preaching, it's all eye candy. It's all ear candy. And candy's not bad for you. But a steady diet of it will make you sick. And eventually do you in. So, however, today I'm going to throw a motivational phrase at you that I want you to think about. And I think it's important. So, the motivational phrase is this. Trust God. Believe yourself. All right. Trust in God and believe in yourself. Now, that's two huge statements stuck together. What in the world do you mean? And of course, you can go all kinds of crazy. Here's what I mean. It's a two-parter. Believing in God is not enough. All right? Believing in God is not enough. Now, why do I say that? That sounds kind of crazy too, right? Because, well, the Bible says that demons believe in God and tremble. So, the mental affirmation that there is a God doesn't give you a whole lot of credit when you're looking at the fact that even demons, hey, they understand there's a God too. The next level is trust. Now, trusting is a little different. In fact, it's a lot different. It's different in this way. Trusting means that you are actively participating in a relationship with that person. If you trust in something or someone, you are actively participating in it. Now, for example, you trust your car. That's going to be kind of simplistic, but if you didn't trust your car, you wouldn't go and you wouldn't get in it. Maybe not your car, maybe a taxi. Maybe a taxi comes up, you know, or an Uber. And this Uber drives up and it's got smoke coming out the back and doors are falling off and the driver looks like he just got out of prison. So, not that that's necessarily a bad thing, but the thing is, is the whole vision is kind of spooky, scary looking. And you're thinking, oh no. Now, to be honest with you, that particular driver might get you exactly where you need to be in record time, safe and sound. But you have to trust in it, in them. You have to get in the taxi. In order to trust God, you have to be doing things that God would want you to do actively. He wants you to pray to Him. Now, prayer sounds so ominous, you know. And in some ways it is. Because when you pray, you're talking to the creator of the almighty universe. I mean, you're talking to the almighty creator of the universe. But you're also having a conversation with someone who wants to hear what you have to say. Now, what else does God want you? He wants you to talk to Him. He wants you to listen when you talk back. How do you do that? You read the Word. Read the Word. Listen to believers who talk to you. Check out what they're saying with the Word. But listen to believers who are talking with you. Sometimes, you know, I've had friends, you know, come up and tell me something. You know, say, you know, I think God wants me to share this with you. And they'll tell me something. And it'll be on spot, you know. Now, I've also had some people tell me some stuff, you know, some people I didn't know real well come up and say, hey, God's got a word for you, and they'll give me this, and it's something really weird, and I'm like, and check it out with the scripture, and it's doesn't really line up that well, and I'm going, I don't know, thanks, appreciate you sharing, but the main thing is, you're listening. All right, and serving. He wants you to serve. How does He want you to serve? He wants you to serve with your money. He wants you to give. This is a season of giving. We give gifts. How about gifts to poor? How about people giving people, you know, some things to? And there's a million ways to do it in Christmas time. Not the least of which are these, many organizations have these little boxes that go to kids that will not get a Christmas otherwise if they didn't get one of these boxes. Now, I think Samaritan's Purse does that. But anyway, trusting is an active process. I can say all day, I trust my car. But if I never get in it and go anywhere or drive it, I don't trust my car. Maybe I just want to own it. But if I keep telling him, no, I trust this car. This car's solid. But I never get in it, ever. How do I know? How do you know? God, the living God, who sent Jesus to die for every one of us so we could have a relationship with Him, wants us to try that relationship. I mean, He just almost dares you. Says, you try me out and see if I can't just bless you to the point where you can't take it anymore. You know? Now, let's go to the second half. Believe in yourself. Now, what do I mean by that? Believe in yourself. A lot of people, myself included, have suffered from image problems, self-image problems. And even though they're really fantastic people, have a lot to give, a lot to do, they don't see it. They don't want to acknowledge it. Now, part of the problem with that, you know, sometimes the self-image problem comes from responsibility. Because if you say, yes, I can do this, then why aren't you? If you're a wonderful writer, painter, singer, why aren't you doing it? So if you acknowledge it, then all of a sudden you feel kind of responsible for doing it. But the other thing is this, a lot of times people want to stay in this downtrodden attitude of unbelief in what they can do. Now, when I say believe in yourself, it goes hand in hand with the first thing, which is trust in God. I want you to believe in your ability to trust in God. I'm going to say it one more time. Believe in your ability to trust in God. Now, why is that? Because God, one thing that God doesn't do is force people to love Him and force people to follow Him. Now, in the end of days, He's going to gather up everyone who wants to be with Him, wants to follow Him, and really cares and loves Him. And the people who don't, unfortunately, are going other places. But the thing is, we have to believe in the ability of turning our will, which in theological terms is a fancy word called volition, okay? Positive volition is the phrase, toward God. Now, some people, there's some Calvinists thinking out there, and man, they're freaking out right now. What do you mean? What do you mean? That sounds like you can earn your salvation. Are you saying you can earn your salvation? No. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that, look, at some point, we have to use our want to and point it at God and say, I trust God. To do that, you have to believe in your ability to do that. Believe in your ability to let God bless you, to let God forgive you, to let God have a relationship with you. Believe in that. Now, that's just a starting point, because belief, faith, is almost like a muscle, okay? And by the way, notice I didn't say blind faith, because I don't believe in blind faith. I don't believe in it. And yes, I've read Kierkegaard's Fear and Trembling, and no, I don't believe in blind faith. I mean, if you want to call blind faith, then think of it this way. You go to a doctor, that's blind faith. Why? Because basically you're looking at the credentials on the wall and what the doctor says in the white coat, and you're trusting in the fact that they know what they are, or, you know, that they know what they're talking about. And to be quite honest, there have been people out there who faked it. But when you have a doctor who's the real deal, they can explain to you everything they know about your condition. But to be honest with you, and if you're not a doctor, you're not going to understand it. And guess what? It probably is going to take about 7 to 10 years for you to learn everything, for them to really, you know, kind of get to the point where you know as much as they do, where you completely understand everything they're talking about. But do you want to do that, or do you just want to say, you know, based on what I know, I'm going to trust you, Doc. And that's what we do. God is the same way. He can explain everything to us. But here's the issue. If he did, then the first part of it would take so long, we'd be dead. Because we don't have 5,000 years to learn what God has to teach us, so we have to use what? The book, the word. That's his revealed knowledge. We start there. Then he revealed more stuff specific in our lives. But you have to believe in your ability to trust him. You can do it. Now, do you have to have some kind of seminar? Do you have to have some kind of... Is there a special Bible you read? Is there a special set of verses you read? Actually, if you start with the Word, that's a good place to start. And one thing that I love most, I guess, is that if you're really wanting to feel the heart of God, okay? I mean, just kind of put your hand, figuratively speaking, on his chest and feel his heart beating. Read Psalms. Because, to me, anyway, personally, nothing really just absolutely shows the emotional inside of the living God better than that book. So, believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. Trust God. Believe in yourself. Take those two things into the next year. Share them this Christmas season. And by all means, keep on speaking it on.
Speak it on. And as always, don't be afraid to speak the word in boldness and truth. And may God bless all of your efforts.